In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Loving God, I ask for a special blessing on all the priests of my diocesan presbyterate. Help them to remember always that they do not work alone, but they are an intimate sacramental brotherhood under the leadership of our bishop, a ministry team for which they are all responsible. For the sake of their unified and coherent mystery, help them to remember that the ministry they do is not theirs alone, but a share in our bishop's ministry. For that reason, keep them always respectful of and obedient to his leadership. Help them to be diligent in their ministry, absorbed in it, so that their commitment may be evident and their service helpful. Inspire them to take good care of themselves and help them to be attentive to becoming more effective in their service. Show me and my brothers in formation ways to encourage our priests, those with whom we will someday be partners in service to the Church. Help them to set a good example for us in all that they do. Support our sick, retired, and absent priests with your loving care. I ask this in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Holy and Immaculate Virgin Mary, I consecrate to you the priesthood entrusted to me by your divine Son, Jesus the Great High Priest. I am all yours, and all that I have I give to you. Be my tender and loving mother, and remind me daily that I am a beloved son of God the Father. May your docile yes to the invitation of the Holy Spirit inspire me to be a humble servant of your Eucharistic Son, as he once again becomes incarnate in my hands. Mary, you are the model of the Church, the Bride of Christ. Help me to live a life worthy of my noble calling, to be a chaste spouse and spiritual father to the Church. Reveal the beauty of your face so that I may be comforted in my frustrations. May I be purified and dwell within your Immaculate Heart, in union with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Saint Joseph the Worker. Teach me to be the man the Father wants me to be, laying down my life and sacrificing for my bride, in the same way you care for the Holy Family. O Jesus, divine physician and good shepherd, heal me that I might heal. Lead me that I might lead all people into the love of the heart of the Trinity, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Mary, undoer of knots, pray for us. Mother of fair love, I look to you. Take into your hands the ribbon of my life and see the snare of snots that keeps me bound to sin, anxiety, and hopelessness. I beg you, Mother, by your powerful intercession and long fingers of love and grace, undo the knots in my heart and in my life. Free me to love as Christ loves. O my God, I'm heartily sorry for ever having offended you, and I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but most of all, because I've offended thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to confess my sins, to do penance, and to amend my life. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask you to anoint me that I might present this conference with faith, reverence, and devotion. I ask that you would not hold the sins of my past against me, but in your loving kindness help me to spend the rest of my life in repentance. Lord, I pray the words I speak might be helpful to my brothers in drawing closer to you, who are Lord now and ever and forever. Amen. Saint Vincent, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So how do we learn to live with difficult people? Bishop Nikolai, a Serbian Orthodox bishop, was martyred in Dachau. When I read his works, I find a man who has a spiritual practice that liberated him to be able to have a conversion of his imagination, and one that invites me to begin the hermeneutic of apprenticeship. He writes, "Bless my enemies, O Lord. Even I bless them and do not curse them. Enemies have driven me into your embrace more than friends have. Friends have bound me to earth. Enemies have loosened me from earth and have demolished all my aspirations in the world. Enemies have made me a stranger in worldly realms and an extraneous inhabitant of the world. Just as a hunted animal finds safe shelter, and an unhunted animal does, so have I, persecuted by my enemies, found the safest sanctuary, having ensconced myself beneath your tabernacle, where neither friend nor enemy can slay my soul. Bless my enemies, O Lord. Even I bless them and do not curse them. They rather than I have confessed my sins before the world. They have punished me whenever I have hesitated to punish myself. They have tormented me whenever I have tried to flee torments. They have scolded me whenever I have flattered myself. They have spat upon me whenever I have filled myself with arrogance. Bless my enemies, O Lord. Even I bless them and do not curse them. Whenever I have made myself wise, they have called me foolish. Whenever I have made myself mighty, they have mocked me as though I were a dwarf. Whenever I have wanted to lead people, they have shoved me into the background. Whenever I have rushed to enrich myself, they have prevented me with an iron hand. Whenever I thought I could sleep peacefully, they have awoken me from sleep. Whenever I have tried to build a home for a long and tranquil life, they have demolished it and driven me out. Truly, enemies have cut me loose from the world and have stretched out my hands to the hem of your garment. Bless my enemies, O Lord. Even I bless them and do not curse them. Bless them and multiply them. Multiply them and make them even more bitterly against me, so that my fleeing to you may have no return, so that all hope in men may be scattered like cobwebs, so that the absolute serenity may begin to reign in my soul,
so that my heart may become the grave of two evil twins, arrogance and anger, so that I might amass all my treasure in heaven. Ah, so that I may once be freed from self-deception, which has entangled me in the dreadful web of illusionary life. Enemies have taught me to know that hardly anyone knows that a person has no enemies in the world except himself. One hates his enemies only when he fails to realize that they are not enemies but cruel friends. It is truly difficult for me to say who has done me more good and who has done me more evil in the world, friends or enemies. Therefore bless, O Lord, both my friends and enemies. A slave curses enemies, for he does not understand, but a son blesses them, for he understands. For a son knows that his enemies cannot touch his life. Therefore, he freely steps among them and prays to God for them. My brothers, I think Bishop Nicolai is saying to me that a brother who thinks he knows everything and a brother who has mental illness is not a problem, but a gift that invites me to open the door to emptiness and to be able to find real freedom. In his last words, he keeps talking about son, son, son. We pray before each conference, be my tender and loving mother, and remind me daily that I'm a beloved son of God the Father. The first identity of priesthood is Son of God. I don't know how you have dealt with this, but the way I've dealt with it is Jesus is the Son of God. I'm this adopted kid whose parents didn't really want him, but God kind of took pity on me. That kind of manifests what's known as the sin management gospel. It reduces the gospel to two things. When you do good, you're going to go to heaven. When you do evil, you're going to go to hell. And that's it. But that is such a terrible distortion of the gospel that's inviting all of us to transformation into Christ's likeness. This never became more real for me than when I encountered Monsignor John Essef from the Diocese of Scranton. Two summers ago, I was out at Creighton University and we were getting ready for Mass, and this blind priest came up to me and he started talking with me. And then later on, I asked, who is he? Oh, that's Monsignor Essef. So I said, oh. And they said to me, do you know that he can read souls? So all of a sudden, I'm saying to myself, he keeps coming at me all the time. Is he reading my soul? Does he know how despicable I am? But not once did he ever treat me with anything but reverence. He was my brother, another priest, who was there trying to support and help. Recently, Monsignor Essef was rewarded for his priestly ministry with a very special dinner. And he began the dinner by saying, I'm a Lebanese Catholic. My family were Maronite. When we came to the United States, we ended up in the Roman Church. And he went on and on and on about his family. And then he talked about his dad. He said, my dad was a very hard taskmaster. My dad never said to me that he loved me or cared about me. No one from the time of my baptism till the time I ended up in theological college ever pointed out to me who I am. But while I was at theological college, we were studying Pius XII's encyclical on the mystical body, and I discovered who I was. I'm a son of God. I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. He said, for the first time in my life, I knew who I was supposed to be. I had an identity. And the thing I most longed to do was go home and tell my dad that he's a son of God, that he's Jesus. So finally, I had the chance to come home and I said, Dad, can I talk to you? And he said, I'm too busy. So then he asked him again, Dad, can I talk with you? Okay, I only got a little bit of time. And Monsignor said to him, Dad, you're a son of God. And his dad looked at him like, are you going cuckoo in the seminary? And then he said, Dad, I really mean this. You are a son of God. You're supposed to be Jesus. You and Mom are both supposed to be Jesus, and your love is what's supposed to make our family alive. You're supposed to help us from the moment of our baptism to recognize who we are. We are the sons and daughters of God. Then he went on to say, every dad out there, you're a son of God. Every mom out there, you're a daughter of God. Your love is supposed to be what your marriage is all about. You're supposed to be Jesus to one another. You're supposed to help your children know who they are. When I heard him speaking, all of a sudden, that brings me back to my own life. He called it the father wound. And all of a sudden, I was brought back to when I was 6 years old. And I was playing with my brother and my sister in the park. And my dad called us back to the car. And to this day, I don't know if we didn't hear him or we just paid attention, we didn't hear him. But the second time when he called us, we knew he was calling us. And we ran to the car. When we got to the car, because I was the oldest, he beat the hell out of me. That was one of the most defining moments in my entire life because I saw how anger can absolutely undermine a person and cause them for the rest of their life to live in an uneasy way, always trying to prevent anger and not ever angering anyone else. This became my life. Now, my dad did some amazing things, but that one moment was my father wound. Since then, I've been in confession, and fathers will come in and they'll confess that they had beat up their son. And it brings me right back to that moment. How do you get beyond that moment? How do you heal? Only when you recognize who you are, that you are a son of God, and that God would never do to us what we would do to one another. Our God is the God that the gospel teaches us, who has open arms, who welcomes us, who understands when we're in sin and we need to find our way home. That's our God. And when you're a son of God, you're able to allow the Father's arms to surround you and to realize that you're precious to the Heavenly Father, that He loves you, that He has called you for a special mission in this world. When Monsignor was speaking, it was like God was directly talking to me about wounds I've carried with me for my entire life. And it was like God inviting me to come out of the tomb that I've been living in for so long so that I could be untied and let go free. That amazing moment was precipitated by different events that helped me to be ready when I heard Monsignor speak. The first of the moments when I was at Memkin Abbey in South Carolina. The second abbot is Father Christian. Father Christian is like 106 at this particular point. There's nothing that can undermine the dynamism of this man. I was praying in the Eucharistic chapel, and he was giving a tour of the monastery chapel. And he, after the tour was over, he came in and he saw me, and he was so upset that he had disturbed my prayer. So while I'm at dinner, he comes up and he gives me one of the poems of John of the Cross. And he said to me, "This is my favorite. This is what helps me to understand what's important." And then he said to me, "Would you hear my confession?" When you hear the confession of a saint, what it does is it totally, in a sense, causes you to feel humbled beyond imagining. What someone who really has cooperated with God is like, and where you're at in terms of that whole process. And it becomes so incredibly beautiful when the confession's being made that you realize God is calling you to this. You can come to your senses and know that in your Father's house, you can be the Son of God. You can be Jesus. The second was a newly ordained priest. And basically, he had a year of priesthood in. And when he would pray, one of the things that would happen to him is he felt a certain sense of darkness in his life. Because in his first year of priesthood, he didn't do everything that he wanted to do. And he didn't feel that he had grown as much as he wanted to grow in a year of priesthood. And he had to face these things in his life. And then he said to the Lord, "I know I'm a son of God. And I know you love me unconditionally. But I got all this stuff that I carry around with me in terms of expectations. And I really need to let it go so you can just love me. You can let me be free to enjoy your love and be set free by your love so that I can go forth and try to be the priest you are calling me to be, not the one I want to be." This image of Son of God is just so important for priesthood. Without it, we're always people that basically have a gift, but the gift can't be shared because it's been put under a bushel basket and it can't be light for everyone. But once you know being what the Son of God is and the challenge that baptism has created in our lives by incorporating us in Jesus Christ, then all of a sudden you can get on fire with the possibilities of your vocation and allowing that vocation to really come alive. When you get to that point, you have the freedom to be able to never cause another human being to feel like they're the dirt under your feet. But they're a brother or sister whose smell you're more than willing to carry on your person, because that's what the Son of God does. He goes looking for the lost sheep. He wants to bring them back to the community. That's what the shepherd does. That's what the Son is meant to be. I can't tell you how liberating knowing Monsignor has been in my life. Not once since 1962 did anyone in my entire Carmelite and priestly formation ever say to me, You are a son of God. We used to talk about being other Christ, but that's kind of almost like being the adopted kid that nobody else wanted. But that's not just an empty phrase, alter Christus. That's what the Son of God identifies with. I am called to be one with Jesus Christ. And with him living and abiding in me, I can go forth and bring light to a broken world. Let us pray. Lord our God, whether we have a father wound or whatever ties us up at this particular time in our life, ask Mary, who always says yes to you, to come and help us untie the knots so that we might be able to love as Christ loves. We ask this in Jesus' name, for he is Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.